Okay, good afternoon, and thank you so much for taking the time out. I know many of you have traveled long distances to be here, and I appreciate that. Thank you for that. I hope that we'll make the next few hours interesting for you and make it worthwhile. A little bit about history. The origins of the business were started by my grandfather in 1918 as a bus transport company, built a fleet of buses, and then post, and also airline, a couple of airline companies. And because of nationalization, that business went down, and then that's when my father and his brothers joined the business, and they went into manufacturing. And what they knew was automotive by virtue of the fact they were running buses, because they maintained the buses, they built the engines, they built the bodies. So LG was started as an automotive equipment company, which is still our business, which is 100% subsidiary. And as part of maintaining automobiles, you needed a small compressor to inflate the tires. And that's how we went into compressors. And then we built out the compressor business beyond that limited scope. And that's really our present context. So this is our leadership team. Since the last meeting, we've had some additions and some changes. Chris has joined us as president of Europe. Europe has been a strategic market. We've been waiting on it. We're almost behind in our strategic intent for Europe by almost 2 years. And that's because we didn't get the right leader. Now, he's on board. Raghu is our new CFO. He's here. Sriram, who was our CFO, is now handling all our operations because Murthy, who was the head of our operations, decided to move on to other opportunities. We have Rajesh, who's taken over as the head of ISAME. What we mean by ISAME is India, South Asia, Africa, and Middle East. That region is the head. Ramesh continues to supervise that region. In addition, he's taken on the responsibility of COSIA, which is China, Oceania, and Southeast Asia. So these are some of the changes that have happened since the last investor meet. What this really means is our leadership team is expanding, and we will continue to expand at L1, that is one level below me. We are still looking at a few more people, senior leaders coming on board over the next six months to a year. So this is just a snapshot of the company. We do business in about 100 countries, which means we sell. We are directly present in about 20, where we have our own people for sales and service. And we have 3 manufacturing locations, India, Italy, and the US. The foundational strength that gives us the right to play in most of the markets worldwide is the back end of our company. We're very strong on technology, very strong on manufacturing. And we have made very strategic backward integration that will give us that competitive ability in a differentiated way in terms of value proposition to the customer. So this really is one of our big pillars of strength in our ability to compete in the market. You saw the video, you saw many of the products. This is just a snapshot of the complete range. Besides the number one and the number two in this business, we are the only company that has the full range of compressors that can serve both the industrial and construction mining segment, what we call as a portable compressor business. We are number 7, and our aspiration is to be number 2. This really is the machine of the future, and we are the only one who has it in the world today. We've already started selling these machines in India. We're going to launch this machine in April in Hanover. We'll be showcasing it to the world for the first time. What is this machine? Now, if you look at compressors, there are oil-lubricated compressors, and then there are oil-free compressors. They exist as two distinct categories, primarily because on the level of dimension of efficiency, an oil-free compressor is about 15% less efficient. So, for customers, if you look at the life cycle cost of a compressor, 75% is energy. Now, if you're 15% inefficient on 75%, it's a significant cost for people who don't really need oil-free, right? The second dimension is, compared to an oil-lubricated compressor, an oil-free compressor is 3 times more expensive. Now, this is the way the world has worked. This is the discontinuity that is accepted as normal in the world. We've been working on this technology for almost 8 years, based on the fundamental premise that there is really no need for 2 categories of compressors. We believe that everything should be oil-free. Everything should be at the same level of efficiency as today's lubricated, and everything should be at the same price as today's lubricated. That was our goal. And what we have achieved here is not fully that, but very close. So instead of 15% lesser efficiency, we are 5% less efficient. Instead of being 3 times more expensive, we are about 1.6 times more expensive, right? Now, this is not the end goal. This is just a milestone in our journey. Even as we have launched this product and we have started selling them in India, we're already looking at improvements in this product, and we are very confident in a matter of a year, year and a half, we will achieve our goal of 100% efficiency. Maybe not the price of oil lubricated, but sufficient value proposition for the customer to pay a premium for this machine and still gain on life cycle cost. The reason being, 5% of the life cycle cost is the cost of oil. So we take that out. So cost of a compressor is only 10%. So if a customer can pay 20% or 30% more on that 10%, that's only 3%. Whereas he's going to save 5%. That's one aspect of it. The second aspect of it is, I think we all have a responsibility to make this world a cleaner place. If you look at all the compressors that are working in the world today, they put out 2 million liters of oil into the atmosphere. So over a life cycle of 10 years, that's 20 million liters. That's a significant amount of damage to the environment. People are getting more and more conscious. So if you can present a compressor option which does not compromise on efficiency, has a slight premium, still has a value proposition, on top of it makes their factory and their contribution to the earth much more cleaner, I think it's very compelling. So this is what we are going to launch, and this is going to be our future. At the moment, this is the range. If we call it oil-free disrupted, that's the whole tagline of this product, because it completely destroys the current value proposition of an oil-free machine. Yeah. This technology enables us to make the smallest oil-free compressor in the world. Today, if you look at a screw compressor, oil-free screw, it starts at around 37 kilowatt. We have the ability to go down to a lot of applications that are in that range. laboratories, research organizations, small companies that need oil-free air for specialized applications, who cannot afford to buy an oil, the regular oil-free, they buy lubricated compressors and they put a lot of filters to clean the air. It still doesn't meet the standard. So there's a lot of hidden opportunity through which we can leverage this product. Today it's limited to 110 kilowatt, not because of the technology, but because of the size of the machine. Yeah? We can take this up to 450 kilowatt. That's not a problem. Technology is not the limitation. It's the size of the machine that's a limitation. We're working on it. This gives you close to 60% in volume of the oil-free market. So it's a good starting point, and we will continue to move this up the scale. So this is a very exciting development for us. Developing a product is one level of challenge. Selling it into the market, especially when it's a disrupted or a disruptive technology, is a completely different challenge. And that difficulty is compounded by the fact that we are an unknown brand and a Made in India label, right? So we need to work that much harder and that much smarter to get this product into the market. So it's not going to be like a ignition of the rocket, you ignite and it just goes ballistic. It's not going to happen that way. We are quite conscious that it's going to be a hockey stick kind of a progression in the market, which is fine. At least it's a good place to be. It's a nice problem to have. You know? Next. We believe we are a compressor company, not just a large compressor company. What that means is we should use our knowledge and our technology to innovate across the entire spectrum of compressors and bring value to any customer irrespective of their size and the amount of money that they spend on compressors. This is a typical piston compressor. The market for piston compressors is huge. Value-wise may not be big, but in volume it is huge. So the organized players like LG or Ingersoll Rand, they operate in a very small percentage of the market. And in that very small percentage of the market, we have a dominant market share. So we challenged ourselves by saying, if we really believe that we have technology and knowledge within the company, how can we use that technology to make a product which gives us the ability to compete in the full spectrum of the market? Now, this market works on two dimensions. One, most important, is price. Because these are customers who don't use the duty cycle of this machine. You take a screw compressor, customers use it for 4,000 to 5,000 hours a year. This they may use for 500 to 1,000 hours a year. So you go talk to them about efficiency, it's not a language that they recognize. The language that they recognize here is a competitive product from a price point of view. Earlier we used to suffer on multiple dimensions. We still suffer, but that's the nature of the game. Earlier we used to suffer by virtue of the fact that we paid all our excise duty and we paid all our sales tax, right? And that combined to about a 25% difference between us and the unorganized guys in the market. GST helped a little bit, but I don't think that economy has gone away. They like to wish that it has gone away, or like to think, but it's still there. But it's made it difficult. Yeah? This product, depending on the horsepower, is anywhere between 25 to 28% lower cost than this machine. And it is more efficient, and it puts out more flow. Less power, higher flow. Right? Not that less power and higher flow works in this market, but it's a talking point. And our ability to provide longer warranty on the machine is far higher, you know, because it's a much more simpler machine and a little bit more difficult to copy. There are probably about 100 people, 100 companies in Coimbatore who make piston compressors. They're all identical. They look exactly like this. Even the design defects that we know exist in our product has been copied, right? So eventually they'll probably copy, but it's going to be difficult to copy. It's not as easy to copy as it is here. So this is another exciting range for us, which will cover from a 3 horsepower to 15 horsepower, pretty much the industrial range for piston compressors. So what do we focus on? We focus on efficiency, the lowest maintenance cost, highest uptime, and we have warranty programs which are one of a kind in the world. So to give you an example, we're the only company that provides lifetime warranty in the U.S., and we've been doing it for the last 6 years. There are two ways in which you can give lifetime warranty. One is you're extremely stupid. You go give it, and then you suffer, right? The other is you calibrate, understand what the failure rates are, and strategically make it. We took the second option. It's proven very favorably for us. Our failure rates on our errands hardly any. So this is what makes us different, because to be able to go to a customer in the U.S. or Europe, when you're an unknown brand and you have the Made in India label as your stamped on you, just making a product that's very efficient is not good enough. You need to put something on the table that proves that the customer can rely on you to buy your machine. And for us, that one of that dimensions is warranty. And it's worked out very favorably for us. Some of our customers in India, and this is some of our customers globally. So let's now talk about the revenue mix. We're almost 50-50 in terms of, well, the automotive equipment business is about 10%, compressors is about 90%, and India and the rest of the world is about 50-50. And if you look at our geographical spread, ISAME, which is India, South Asia, Africa, and Middle East, is about 61%. The next biggest one is the Americas, and then the third is Europe. And then you have COSIA and the international division, which is really what covers the rest of the 100 countries. Our sales performance over the years, this is our estimate. We are reasonably confident we will achieve this. Consolidated numbers. This is our EBITDA that we estimate for the year. I want to spend this meeting to talk more about profitability, because in the past investor meetings, our conversation centered more on sales, centered more on how are we going to fulfill our aspirations, and the aspiration itself to the outside world was defined as revenue. So the focus really was, and we were struggling. If you really look at this period, we were struggling with a pretty flat top line, and therefore bulk of the preoccupation and conversations and your concerns were on the top line, because the top line came, the bottom line came. So this meeting, we will talk a little bit more about what is the structure of our profit, how are we architecting it for the future. You know? Our debt position, it's good at one level and not so good at another level. If I look at the red bar in March 2016 and the red bar in December 2018, doesn't look very good. Well, it's not terribly bad, but could have been a lot better. We know what the problems are. The problem is we have inventory and we have receivables. This is all purely working capital. Nothing that is dead inventory or obsolete inventory. It's just that certain types of sales that we did that is much larger in terms of receivables and certain excess anticipation in the market procurement. So this is a very operational detail that I'm not too worried about. This includes close to 60 crores of Pulford's acquisition. So if I take it out, there has been a consistent reduction in the debt. The acceleration in the reduction is not as per what we wanted, and it's primarily caused by working capital, at least in the last 2 years. It's not because of sales or cash from operations. It's more working capital that has taken up quite a bit of it.